Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, August 12th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room by listening online at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. We would like to extend a special welcome back to show co-host Trey Patterson. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin. Let's weigh in.
Hello, everyone. How's everybody doing tonight? Trey, welcome back, buddy.
Wow, that was the best intro I could imagine. That was awesome.
That was good, wasn't it? I'm hiring her on full-time, and that gets me out of that tough job, but that was Michelle, my lovely wife. Thank you for doing that, sweetheart. And
That was good.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was awesome.
That's a lot better than I could ever dream about doing. So thanks for doing that. And we missed you, Trey. You've been out a week. And as you know, a lot has happened in the sports world. And even though you probably weren't here to be able to talk sports with us, you were watching sports and listening to the show probably when it wasn't live. So I hope all's well with you, buddy. And we know what you feel like, so take your time in getting better. But what's going on in the sports world, man?
Man, there's been a lot that's happening. I mean, Harvin, it's been a crazy week for sports. And, you know, baseball playoffs are heating up. You got a lot of NFL training camp, stories and things to watch for. And then college football, there's been a lot of things going on as well. It's like, I think you nailed it right, Carvo, when you said that, like, this little period of time is when there seems to be just so much that goes on in these programs, and we've seen it happen time and time again, and this week has been no different than normal. I mean, there's just been story after story of guy getting in trouble, and, you know, of course, we know the Honey Badger. So, I mean, just a lot going on, Carvo.
Well, you know, in spring, people, they call it spring cleaning. They go in and clean everything, start the season off right. Well, in football, people are going into people's closets as well, and they're starting to pull out a bunch of stuff that's been hidden. And, man, it's always this time of season. I'm always worried if we're going on probation. It's getting old, but there's a lot of rules being broken, like you said. And I want to start off with the Honey Badger, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, let's talk to Honey Badger.
Well, this is a kid that, I mean, Trey, when I think of the Honey Badger, I think of just a game breaker, a playmaker, just someone that has a gift to score touchdowns and the knack for finding the ball. And so when I heard this, you know, I know he was in trouble. He was suspended last year for the Auburn game for, smoking marijuana. But to be kicked off the team, Trey, there had to have been something going on besides the little drugs. What do you think?
Well, we know it's drug-related, Tarvin, but I guess here's my point with that. You know, certainly any college program could feel, you know, you want to give these kids a chance, and you want to give them a chance to mature, and you want to be able to, as a head coach, to help that maturation process. I think what we saw here, Tarvin, is where he had a lot of chances, but he kept failing the same thing. I think, from what I'm hearing, Tarvin, it's been marijuana multiple times. And, you know, while that's not a very big offense, you know, in the grand scheme of life, when you're talking about a college program that needs to remain a certain integrity, and, you know, LSU, no matter how, you know, much you may dislike their program, they have actually avoided major sanctions, you know, for forever. I mean, they've been a pretty good program in that regard. So I think Les Miles got back into a corner, Tarvin. I think, you know, when it came down to another failed drug test, and it's the same, you know, the same story from from the old Honey Badger, I think he had no choice but to basically boot him off the team and make his team aware, like, you know, no one is above the team rules and the school rules, even our, you know, Heisman finalist, which is a huge, huge hit for LSU.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, you know, it disappointed me to see that all of a sudden the same day that he's kicked off the team, he's already talking about transferring to McNeese State or something. If I was him, wouldn't you take a little time just to let the dust settle and just maybe come back and sit out a year and play at a major college instead of these little small schools? Because it seems like to me Les Miles was giving him a chance to get it all straight. In a way, you know, kick you off the team. It doesn't mean he could never come back. He might straighten up and come back, but it seems like he's rushing this decision. But, I mean, this cat is an amazing football player, man. He made some great plays last year that just blew my mind when I saw them. I mean, against West Virginia, against Oregon, against Alabama. I mean, he was making good plays, and he was the reason LSU made the championship game. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things that, you know, again, focus on Twitter, you know, all these athletes have been talking about, and commentators have been commenting on this. It's been such a large story. And I saw a comment that I really disagreed with, and, you know, I am not an LSU fan. I don't really prefer LSU at all, and, you know, I still don't like the fact that you lose a star player. I mean, if you're any school to beat LSU with this guy than without him. But one of the guys said, no big deal, they just lost an overrated, basically, return guy. And I thought, well, that's not true at all based on what we saw last year. I mean, he had so many big defensive plays that changed games, and you mentioned some of those games. I mean, this guy was a game breaker. I mean, he could take a game that their momentum had just crashed and turn it completely around, and now LSU has all the momentum, and they finish the game strong. So I think it is a big loss, and this is the kind of guy that you can replace with another guy, the four-star blue-chip guy. But you're not going to be able to replace that kind of charisma and that kind of on-the-field game-changing performance. I mean, that doesn't come around that often. And that's why he was a Heisman Trophy finalist as a return guy and a defensive player. I mean, that's super rare.
Yes, and I remember watching the SEC Championship against Georgia. LSU was flat. I mean, these guys couldn't even move the ball. They looked like they did against Alabama, but, you know, it was a Georgia game, and all of a sudden, I believe he returned a punt to the house, and it just all of a sudden the onslaught began. The defense played better. The offense started playing with a little zip. So this is a player that if I'm an LSU fan right now, I'm very disappointed that we're losing this kid because he means that much to a defense. So now you're going to have to put someone inexperienced in there. Claiborne's gone as well. He went to the draft. He's playing for the Dallas Cowboys now. So how is that LSU secondary going to be? We know the defensive line is stacked, but what about these quarterbacks in the SEC? There's some pretty good ones. They can start picking them apart in the secondary now. So it's going to be interesting to see, Trey, how it all pans out.
Yeah, I mean, they got one basically experienced guy in the backfield, and, I mean, certainly he's very talented. But, you know, they're talking about, you know, it's kind of the same situation at Florida State, you know, with Greg Reed, All-American, get kicked off and, you know, return guy and good defensive back. I mean, LSU is now sort of in the same position with having basically a freshman come in and vice that position. I mean, no matter how talented you are as a freshman in a large-scale league with superb arms, and we'll talk about how many of those arms are actually on the Heisman watch list. I mean, there's two or three, and there's a couple sleepers out of the SEC for quarterbacks. So it's not as if this league is one you can get by with having, you know, lack of experience. I mean, it's going to be, you know, enough game tape of watching these guys and understand that there are these quarterback tendencies and the fact that you played against them before. I mean, you know, the Honey Badger had gone against Aaron Murray, you know. I mean, so that's something you can't replace with a young prospect. And that could be a one pass to the end of the game for a touchdown to lose the game against Georgia. Who knows? I mean, like, you know, this is a loss for LSU that we won't really know how big it's going to be until the season starts getting played.
Trey, I think there's something else involved in this, and I'm a conspiracist anyway, so I think something else is going on that could really put the LSU program in jeopardy that caused this swift reaction by Les Miles, because last year Jefferson kicked a Marine in the head and beat a Marine up, and he still got to play. So, I mean, it's got to be something besides marijuana or even repeat, because he's never been suspended but one game. If he was smoking weed again, he might have gotten suspended for half a season or something. But just kick someone off, there's got to be something else. But if you want to call in, just like my wife said earlier, 646-716-5564, chat room. Get in there. Ask us questions. We'd love to hear from you tonight. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. Trey, we are less than 3 weeks away from the kickoff of college football, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so now's the time, you know, you can talk trash as a fan because you know what? You're 0-0 right now. There's no record. I can talk trash as an Auburn fan because you know what? We have a shot. We're just as good as Alabama right now with the same record. So I can trash talk, but maybe after that first week I might not, but I hope I am, though.
Yeah, what I like about college football, Carvin, now is there seems to be a decent enough teams playing in that first opening weekend, that, you know, those kickoff classics, if you will. You know, that first started, you know, about, I guess, 10 years ago, I guess. And it seems like it's just really blossomed into a really cool tradition where you have these big stage games, you know, the very first week, and it's just Alabama, Michigan, you know, Auburn, Clemson, you know, and there's more. I mean, that's exciting to build up to, you know, after offseason. You don't have to wait for, you know, a lot of programs are opening up against McNeese State and that kind of stuff. That's less exciting for me as a college football fan to want to tune into ESPN or ABC or whatever it is to watch some other team play. And I'm super excited about those games, Darvin.
Yeah, last year it just wasn't very exciting, you know, Utah State. But little did I know, Utah State, I was going to be almost throwing up in the third, fourth quarter watching Auburn play Utah State. But, you know, the players, Trey, when you see something on your schedule, like pretend you're Auburn right now. You just got beat by Clemson for the first time in 50 years. You were embarrassed a little bit. And now, your first game of the season, you start where you left off in the Georgia Dome. Auburn looked like a good team at the end of the year in that game. They grew up a lot over the winter, and now they've had spring and summer, Trey. So think about the motivation these guys have now in practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Carvin, that kind of leads into one of the things I wanted to ask you about. I know I talked to you earlier today about it, and I saw a post on message board saying it was way too early to call Heisman, Carvin. Is it really too early for us to talk about Heisman, Carvin?
Well, if it's not too early to talk about national champions and preseason rankings, no, it's not too early.
Yeah, I agree with you, Carvin. I want to hit you with a major news outlet, CBS, I'll give them credit, came out with their Heisman finalists already, and they gave us 10 names. And I want to run off these names, Carvin. The 10 was Taj Boyd. They had Thomas from Oregon at 9. The running back out of Nile Davis out of Arkansas at 7, or excuse me, at 8. And then Smith. Then they had, trying to read my writing here. I can't read my writing before Smith. But then they had Murray, Landry Jones, Ball, and then Denard Robinson number 2, and Matt Barkley as the favorite. What do you think about what CBS is doing with this list? I mean, is it accurate, Tarvin? Do you think that this is the list that's going to come out at the end of the season, or do you think this is pretty inaccurate at this time?
Well, I think it's inaccurate at the time except for one player on that list, and it's Matt Barkley at USC. We talked about, we think he's the clear winner of this Heisman Trophy. And with the defenses they play, it's going to be hard for them to give up any kind of votes for him. If he throws for 300-400 yards a game, he's going to have to win 11 games and at least make a BCS bowl to get it, but I really don't see him losing more than 2 games. So
yeah.
Looking at Denard Robinson, I think he's overrated. I think he won't even make it through a season. And that was the same thing when Cam won it. Denard Robinson was way above Cam Newton, and all of a sudden he just dropped off. I'm surprised to see Nile Davis in there. I'm surprised to see Taj Boyd in there. Is there anybody that jumps out at you?
No, and actually, you know, it's funny. The name I couldn't read on my list was E.J. Manuel, Florida State, the one name that I thought that I should be able to remember because I'm a Florida State fan. But, you know, what jumped out at me, Tarvin, is I think there are 3 guys on this list who legitimately I really do believe will be sitting down to see whose name that gets called. You know, I think Matt Barkley is a clear front runner. It's not just because USC has the ability to play a lot of defenses which aren't as stout as the SEC, or the fact is Matt Barkley is a superbly talented individual. He would have been a top 5 pick in the draft if he come out. So he is a clear frontrunner, I think, and he's going to have to do a lot to actually lose that frontrunner status. I think Monty Ball is going to be an interesting guy, Carvin. I mean, off the field, you know, that whole getting jumped incident, was it Was it more than that? We'll see how he recovers, what kind of season he has, because he's going to be a guy who's going to be on a lot of people's ballots at the end of the year, I think. And then Landry Jones, I think, is probably going to be your runner-up, Tarvin. I mean, looking at, you know, obviously everything before the season, Landry Jones is just another guy who's going to be a great, probably a great NFL quarterback. He's going to put up probably some big numbers with Oklahoma this year as they throw the ball around a little bit. I think you're right. Tyus Boyd, I'm not so sure about on the list. Oregon's got two good running backs, so having Thomas on the list kind of surprised me, because, I mean, you could probably list either one of those guys, and I'm not sure who's going to have a better year. Mal Davis, really, you're right, he hasn't really proven himself yet to be on a Heisman list. And I'll tell you this, Tarvin, I mean, so I think actually Tyler Wilson from Arkansas will be on the list for me before Mal Davis. What do you think about that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this kid showed his toughness last year against Alabama. I mean, this guy is a gunslinger. Bobby Petrino, you know, got him. Gus Malzahn wanted him. You know, he fought hard to get him, but he did. He lost out to him. But this cat is special, and he's tough. And looks like Aaron Murray. I think he's better than Aaron Murray. Everybody's giving Murray some love. I'm a lot higher on Wilson.
Yeah, yeah. Wilson definitely is a guy who could put up a lot of numbers this year, depending on how Arkansas decides to run their offense. And you know, you're right. I mean, there's some secondary issues now for LSU. There's some secondary issues that have developed for Alabama. So, you know, this could be a year where Tyler Wilson actually makes his name. And I think that's going to be – I think if Arkansas gets a guy in the top five for a Heisman kind of finalist, I think it's going to be Wilson over now, David.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to go to the phone lines real quick. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
What's up, Tarvin?
Oh, nothing much. How's it going, Sonya?
How are you? Hey, Trey.
Hey.
I had to jump in, and I definitely had to hit one because I was the one that put it was too early to start talking Heisman, but I meant, and I want to clarify this, it's too early to start talking Heisman. We can talk about Heisman finalists and who to watch, but as far as who's going to win, that's what I mean. Say, like, come on. It is.
Well,
I love
it. Sonya, you have
now.
The national championship, though. People are predicting USC, Alabama, LSU, or whoever to win the national championship. So you think it's a little bit early to talk a winner on the Heisman, huh?
Yeah, just the winner. I mean, everybody's going to watch. You got to think about it. Of course, you're going to be watching Bama, USC, Oregon, teams like that, LSU. You're going to be talking finalists, but when people get into discussions about who's going to win and, oh, this person's going to do that, give me a break. Come on. You don't even know. The guy could be hurt the second game. It's like it's okay to have those kind of discussions, but I think when people get into these real, like, intense debates over who's going to win, it's like, dude, we hadn't even played a game yet.
Well, you know, you would have never thought RG3 was going to win the Heisman Trophy going into last year, and the year before, Cam Newton, he wasn't on the map. So
Right. Somebody's
going to sneak up on this. They're going to sneak up. And one of the interesting ones Trey mentioned that I think needs a little more love and people need to watch out for is the Thomas kid out of Oregon. This guy is special, guys. I don't know if y'all seen him play, but, man, he can fly, and he just got a lot of playmaking ability. Trey, have you seen him?
Yeah, you know, the thing he's got going for him, Parvin, or what I'm not going for him is he's going to be splitting carries with a senior on the team. He's a sophomore. He's got a lot of raw talent, and, you know, we'll see it. But I think Oregon's going to be splitting carries a little bit. I think that's why I don't know that he can, you know, we'll see. You know, Tony makes a good point. I mean, obviously, if I can't remember the senior cap's name there, but if they don't split carries as much and Thomas gets the rock more and more often, then clearly, this guy's going to rocket his way up in these kind of lists.
His name's Barner. I think his name
Barner,
is Barner.
Barner, that's right.
Yeah. But no, my only point was, and I even put this on the thread in Pride when we were talking about it, is there's always a dark horse. I mean, 2009, nobody was talking about Ingram as far as the watch list, but he walked away with it. Nobody was talking about Cam in 2010, and he walked away with it. So that's what I mean. It's like, you know, it's okay to talk about who might be or, you know, who might be a possible, but when they get to the point of, like, I'm sorry, my personal opinion, Denard Robinson at number two, nah. That's too high. That's just my personal opinion, though. But you get what I'm saying.
That is honey badger high right there, almost.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, and to weigh in on that, and I don't want to take you guys off topic, just to get back on that, I heard part of the discussion that you guys were having, and what's really sad about that is here's a kid that just, I mean, the thing is, we know for a fact that he had two chances, and nobody knows exactly what, you know, everybody keeps saying it's drugs again or it's this or whatever. We don't know what it was, but it's just the fact that I hate when any kid, I don't care what team, what conference or whatever, but when you have had, you've got a chance to not only just make an impact, help your team, possibly go pro, and you throw it away by not doing just the simplest things, what you're supposed to do. Okay, don't smoke, don't stay out late, you know, keep your grades up, do what you need to do. I hate when kids throw these opportunities away. It's just a waste, and it's a waste, to me it's like wasted talent. And that shows a little bit of selfishness, too.
Well, Tanya, all these kids, I mean, like Honey Badger, he's patted on the back every day, told how great he is, how he can do no wrong, and, you know, all the jerseys people are wearing, Honey Badger, everywhere he goes. So it's kind of hard probably for kids like that to be able to come down to earth, so to speak. So I just think he's just in a situation now, instead of going to McNeese State, I think he needs to take a year off and just regroup, Trey. What do you think about that?
I'll tell you what I think he should do, Tarvin. I think there's, and this is why. Greg Reed went to Savannah or Valdosta State. I think he should probably go to Valdosta State too. And here's my rationale: if Greg Reed and Honey Badger, you know, are on the same team down in, you know, I know we're not calling it D2 anymore, but down to the FCS level, they're going to win a national championship because they're going to need a new offense. They're going to shut down. They're going to get a lot. They're going to get some press because both of them are on the same team, and that's what both these guys need because, you know, he's going pro after this year. He's not going to come back and play college his senior year. He's going to go pro, just like Reed's going to go pro. Of course, Reed's a senior. But the point is like they need to do something to keep themselves in NFL out mind. And I think that would be a good tandem is you pair yourself with the best backfield in FCS and say, you know, we're good enough to play at the other level, whatever. But you get some press, you get some publicity, and then you can jump on that in the NFL and say, hey, look how great of a season I had. You know, I'm so great. You know, pick me in the first round.
That's a good point.
Well, I think these kids, though, what do y'all think about these kids like Honey Badger, Cam Newton, Michael Dyer, and all these kids like that, they shouldn't be able to go down. You shouldn't be able to go down and play once you played and were successful in the SEC and stuff. I really think that's unfair because some of these kids in there, you know, they're not the greatest in the world, but they're good football players. And then all of a sudden you have Cam Newton coming to your junior college or something. I just think it's kind of unfair for these guys to be able to go down. I think you should be able to step up, but not going down. What do you think, Sonya?
I have to agree with you somewhat, and it really depends on the situation too, because it would be just like a, and I can't say I'm not that much into baseball, but like when you send a player down to the farm team, you know, it's kind of like a punishment.
Yeah.
And for some of these kids, it's like the way Trey just outlined it, it's an even greater opportunity. But the thing is, you still have to look at the point of why you were sent there in the first place or why you're in that position in the first place, which is my issue. How it's like we build these kids up, and it all starts from recruiting and, you know, making all of these. It used to just be, okay, you make your decision, that's it. Now it's, okay, we got dogs and hats and press conferences and all of this stuff. And to me, it starts there, building up their egos, and they get to the point where they do feel like they can do no wrong. There's this arrogance, and sometimes they do need to get knocked down a peg. But and fit in with the other players when we were talking about moving them to or going to Valdosta State or schools like that, it isn't fair for them, you know, because now all of a sudden you've got this guy who's played, you know, Division I, and now he's on your team and he's got your spot and he's making names for himself, but what about you? So it's really screwed up for everybody, but it all boils down to why is he there in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good point. Everything should be able to be looked at by committee, and like you said, there's a reason why you're there. If it's punishment, if it's just that you can't cut it there. So that's a very good point, Sonya.
Yeah, but I just wanted to...
I don't know if y'all heard, but Michigan Wolverines, Trey and Sonya, they got back two players that were suspended. I believe the running back, the starting running back, is going to be playing. The coach said he can't really say if he's going to suspend him or not. You know, they paid their dues and missed a week of practice. So,
sounds like to me
the guy's a little scared. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds like some waffling to me.
Yeah, I mean, look, guys, I'm going to be honest. Michigan is putting a lot into this game. This could be their entire season. If they get blown out, Trey,
yeah,
how's that going to happen?
Trey, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, a lot of this, and this sort of goes back to our Heisman talk, a lot of people think that Denard Robinson can be RG3. And I think that's what's really boiling a lot of this down and why there's so much hype around Michigan this year, why a lot of folks are putting him number two. But there's a couple of things, Tarvin, and it comes down to basically size and arm. And that's the really big difference in, like, what I think your expectation should be as a fan of Michigan and going into these games is, you know, RG3 is bigger, stronger, and has a better arm than Denard Robinson. So I think putting him this hyped up in the season is going to be leading towards a fall. Not as talented as RG3 is. He's not a big quarterback. He's right at 6 foot, which means he's 5'11". I mean, you know, that's not the ideal height for a quarterback, and we all know you can still be successful in that height. But the point is this guy is not RG3, and I think a lot of people are putting him out as if he is, and I think that's going to lead to the fall of Michigan. I think a lot of folks are going to be disappointed in their talent this year when it comes down to their schedule and how well they do.
You are so right, Trey. You put it, that's excellent, and that's exactly what I meant. People they're setting these expectations so high and not being realistic. And that includes Alabama fans, too. And, you know, I'm a Bama fan, but it's like you have to be realistic. When you look at Denard Robinson and we look at, you know, some of the replays of games he's played, I think Jason and I watched Ohio State, and you look at the highlights and then you look at him just a full game, and then you look at RG3, oh, come on, there's no comparison. And that's why when the list was posted in the group today and they had him at number two, and I'm like, whoa, you know, okay, yeah, you might want to put him on the list, but number two? Oh, come on.
Yeah,
that is a little high. It is a little high. I mean, I don't even think he should be in the list. But, well, Sonia, we're going to change gears a little bit. And what I want you to do, I know you're staying in the chat room. When I pause you, will you hit number one so you'll go out of the queue, and then if you want to come back in and weigh in, you can just hit one and I can see it. Before, I can't see it because I guess they're not hitting one. I figured that out. So.
Well, no problem. You know I'm always going to be on hold at least. You know I got to jump in here. But you guys go ahead. I'll jump in when I can.
All right. Thanks, Sonia.
All right.
Thanks, Sonia, for joining us on that. That's some good information. She always adds good insight to these subjects we're talking about. Trey, let's talk about, you know, real quick, and this has been a lot in the news a lot this week, especially if you're an Auburn or Alabama fan. I'll start off with Auburn and Javon Robinson, a highly recruited running back out of Memphis. Found out this week, I think it was Friday, the guidance counselor at his high school resigned after admitting that she forged a transcript. So this is not very good. And what I'm hearing from good sources is that Auburn's in the clear. They have no idea. And the worst-case scenario really is this guy will probably have to redshirt a season. So I think he's going to still be at Auburn once this is all said and done. Trey, I don't know how much you've got to listen to this, but what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I actually saw this story out there, and given that you're an Auburn fan and I knew that, you know, hey, this is going to be something interesting to Tarvin, I checked it out. You know, and I think there was, you know, more than just this issue that the NCAA was there investigating. They were investigating a car issue as well. I mean, so this kid, we'll see, Tarvin. I mean, you know, sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire with these guys. You know, and if it's not one thing, it's another. So this is definitely a flag to throw up for him as a character issue. And if he stays at Auburn and doesn't have any more problems, then great. But this is a guy that you know, just off of, you know, what I'm seeing now, Tarvin, which isn't good, that could have more and more problems at Auburn. So we'll have to see. I mean, I don't think there's any chance he's on the field this year. I think you're right about that. But we'll see, you know, how successful he can be as an Auburn football player as he matures through, you know, through you know, through college. We'll see if he actually ever, you know, lives up to his hype and can actually stay out of trouble.
Yeah, I honestly believe Auburn is innocent in this whole ordeal. I think this happened when he was a sophomore, and there's just so much that can happen. And you know, this is possible that he didn't even know it happened. You know, it's possible. I doubt it, but, you know, we can play the role of that a kid could. If he said he didn't know, how are you going to really prove he did? He said,
yeah.
She said. So they're looking into that. If Auburn, Trey, just say if one of the Auburn coaches coerced or paid, a booster paid this counselor, how bad is it going to be for Auburn?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is going to be our own. We'll see. And I agree with you. I'm not sure that that Auburn would have known about this that long ago. But, you know, we'll see what happens to this kid.
Yeah, no, I will be following this story. You don't have to worry. So if anything changes, we'll break it out. We'll break a story if we have to, break a show. But in Tuscaloosa, you know, Coach Jeremy Pruitt, an assistant coach, there's a kid, Darius Page, out of Washington High School in Pensacola. He transferred. He came to the coach's office and said, hey, you know, Alabama's coach told me I needed to transfer to Foley High School. And so the kid did. The coach complained that he actually said, come to Foley and we'll change your grades or something like that. I don't think a coach would be that stupid to say that to a kid. Do you, Trey?
You know, this is kind of sad because this isn't even college football recruiting. And this is high school stuff. And, you know, that's just even worse. You know, that this kind of stuff goes on. Who knows? I mean, can I see a high school coach doing that? Yeah, I can. Because there are definitely in bigger cities. And, you know, I went to college in Birmingham, Alabama. And that was a school that would recruit other high schools for their teams. There were a private school. And they would recruit at other high schools. And so who knows what they would say. So, I mean, I can believe it, Tarvin. I really can.
Well, this is actually a coach at Alabama, Pruitt. He was at Hoover High School, but now he's an assistant coach in Alabama. I think the guy's got more sense than to say that. I think what you have a case of is a case of sour grapes here. The high school coach is pissed off that, you know, his kid left. And, you know, there could be other things going on. But we're going to go to the phone lines real quick. You're on Way In Sports, area code 352. Who is this and where are you from?
This is Rick from Michigan. How are you?
Good, Rick.
Hello.
You a first-time caller?
Yes. Yeah, first time.
Okay.
I've been listening to your show for a few weeks and just wanted to call in and get my thoughts on this Alabama-Michigan game coming up.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I didn't know a lot about Alabama until I got to perusing the message boards there, trying to talk some football with these folks, but then I quickly realized you can't really talk rational football with these people. It's pretty arrogant.
Alabama fans
Alabama fans. Pretty arrogant fan base. You know, these guys have been on probation since Desert Storm, but in consecutive years, but they're the first ones to point a finger at everybody else that, you know, might break one little rule, maybe a secondary violation. They don't want to hear anything about our offense or our defense. It's all about, you know, what they're going to do to Michigan September the 1st, and it's just funny to me. It cracks me up.
So is there anybody – I'm sorry, Trey. Go ahead, bud.
No, I was going to ask you, what do you think about Denard Robinson, number two for the Heisman, and, you know, did you catch what we said? I mean, do you agree, disagree? What can you tell us from as a Michigan guy?
Yeah, well, I didn't catch what you guys said, but I think he's going to run and pass all over Alabama. You know, only Alabama could lose 8 first-round draft picks or whatever they think it was and still have the best defense in the country. You know, really delusional. How many did they have? 4 or 5 first-round draft picks?
Yeah.
And according to their people, there's not going to be any drop-off. I'm just going to... You know, it's funny. I just
it's called reloading, man. It's not rebuilding.
Yeah.
It's reloading.
Yeah. I think they're going to get reloaded September the 1st. I think before they realize what's going on, Michigan's going to be up by 21. I don't know who they have on scout team that could can simulate the kind of speed you're going to see from Michigan's quarterback.
Yeah.
And also, well, I mean, Brady Hoke, you know, he's brought a style there, a program that is kind of like a lot like SEC schools, you know, physical, running the football, you know, good defense. So.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's just.
Are you saying Brady Hoke's a Michigan's physical? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay,
exactly what I'm saying. I'm looking forward to it.
Is it on the defensive line or the offensive line?
Both sides of the football.
Okay.
Both sides of the football.
I didn't see that.
I'm looking for something like I think Alabama will score because they've got a pretty good offense coming back, but I think it could be a 49-39 type game. I think Michigan's going to light them, and we're going to light them up. I can't wait to watch.
Rick.
I will be. Go ahead.
Hey, Rick, I have a caller on the line that wants to come on. Do you mind if I bring him on?
Bring him on. You know what I want to discuss? I want to discuss the last time that we played Alabama in 1999 and their kicker couldn't make a PAT.
Sonia, are you back?
Does anybody out there remember that one? That was hilarious. Tom Brady threw for about 400 yards, and then in overtime, Alabama's kicker couldn't make a point after a touchdown.
That was the Orange Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
those aren't cool. Sonia, are you in?
I'm here.
What you got for us?
Hi, Rick.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'll be doing better here in about 3 weeks when we spank Alabama, but doing good tonight.
Good luck with that one. Just want to tell you, I have to apologize if you were on a board and you met some of our lower-tier Bama fans that all teams have. Because not all Bama fans are arrogant,
them,
and not all Bama fans are unrealistic. Looking forward to the game, but I'm not too sure that it's going to be the result that you're predicting. But I would say this, it's going to be a great game.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a great game.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. I just wanted to come and speak for Bama fans. I'm one of those that I kind of have a little pet peeve when people say all Bama or all Michigan or all this. One of my best friends is a Wolverine, and I actually have family from Michigan, and we actually enjoy the game. Now, we can sit here and go pitch.
Maybe I should revise that and say all the ones that I've had contact with.
There you go. Now, that makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah. Well, Sonia, thank you. We're gonna take another call. We appreciate you calling in. All right, we're going to go to the 256 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this? Hello?
I'm still here.
Okay, the 256 area code hung up. I guess they didn't want to talk. So looking at the – I want to talk to you a little bit about the Big Ten. How do they view the SEC? How do they look down at Urban Meyer's now is up there? So how do you look at the SEC conference when you look at
it? Well, I look at it as, you know, it's pretty cutthroat conference. It's win at all costs. You know, you look at who's typically on probation. You can close your eyes and point a finger, and it'll end up at an SEC school. I mean, I think I was looking at the news today. Alabama's going to be in trouble again. Auburn's being investigated. I mean,
it's
good football, but it's one scam after another. You know, that's how I look at it. I mean, it's good football, but you know, it's a bunch of cheaters. Pretty much.
Trey? Well, I was just going to say, certainly the Big Ten right now can't really point both stones at the SEC. I'm an ACC guy, Rick, just so you know. I'm not defending the SEC as an SEC backer, but, you know, the biggest scandal in history came out of the Big Ten from Penn State. Ohio State's on probation. I mean, it's not like the Big Ten can say, hey, we're so clean. You know, I mean, they've had the biggest scandal in NCAA history this year.
Right.
Well,
that's a
true,
good point.
That is a good point. But it didn't have anything to do with winning football games. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you start talking about integrity, though. You start talking about integrity, and you know, you talk about integrity like you probation. That's part of it. But molesting children, you know, that's a no-no too. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not here to defend that.
Well, you know, Rick, I'm gonna tell you, I don't think it's gonna be a very high scoring game for Michigan Alabama. I think Alabama's gonna come in and handle business, honestly. Not to hurt your feelings or put your team down. I just think Alabama's a real good team, but I think it'll be pretty close. Now that I heard Alabama lost a couple of players in their secondary, which was already inexperienced and young, so you lost two more players there. One transferred and one's out for the season with injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, inexperienced and young is not going to be a good combination for what Denard Robinson's got for him.
Hey, Rick, Sonia, you just talked to her. She wants back on just for a second. Do you mind?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, put her back on.
All right, Sonia, you're back on.
Okay, I just want to get back to what you just said as far as a bunch of cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama and Auburn are a bunch of cheaters.
Yeah.
And that I just want to make sure I'm right because, you know, it kind of just
riled me up a little bit.
You're
saying it. You're exactly right. They are.
Exactly is your basis for this?
Well, they both – when was the last time Alabama was off probation? Do you even know? It had to be 25, 30 years.
25, 30 years. Okay, so in those 25, 30 years, we've won two national championships, had a Heisman winner, and what exactly has Michigan done?
Oh, listen, Michigan, you don't want to get into the history of Michigan football. Okay, we've won more games than any other school in the history of the NCAA, pretty sure.
Uh-huh. Yep, you guys are. You guys are number one. But we're talking recent. Now, you say that we're cheaters.
Hey, I have a joke for you.
Had a more successful season than you guys, and you guys are talking
right,
about
Sonia, are you ready for this joke? This will help lighten the mood here.
What other players on your team do what?
How many Alabama fans does it take to change a light bulb?
How many what?
How many Alabama fans does it take to change a light bulb?
Let's see. Probably the same amount of Alabama fans is going to take you to win that national championship.
I'm going
to
tell you,
that's the only
three.
Way you're going
to
win
it takes
one.
Takes three. It takes three. One to change it, and two to stand there and talk about how good the old one was.
Yep. And how many Michigan fans did it take? Go there. I ain't going to go there. I'm going to be nice, Tarvin. No.
Hey, Tarvin, I got to go, man.
I ain't going to go there.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
Trey, you need to talk to Rick.
Yeah, one just before we, I know we're getting close to time here, but here's what I want. Sonia, Rick, are you guys listening?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
All right, whoever loses this game between the two of you, I want to call into our show the next week and apologize to the other one. Can I get you both to agree
to
that?
Oh, yeah,
we'll
no
do.
Problem.
We'll
all
do.
Right.
We'll do.
I have
go.
No problem doing that. No.
I love it. All right, Rick.
I'll see your apology on September 2nd, okay?
Okay.
Day
all right.
The game.
Ready for that.
Right, I'm looking forward to it.
I am definitely.
All right, thanks
on
Rick.
Okay. All right, see you guys.
Thanks, Sonia. We appreciate you.
All right, hon.
Yeah. Thanks, Rick. Great call, Sonia, Rick. Great talk there.
That was. I mean, that's some interesting. I mean, that's the first time a caller's actually called in and just killed our SEC conference, man. It was hard for me to stay quiet there while I'm sitting there hearing this. But, you know, I have to be. And I can't be one-sided. I have to listen to people's opinion. And if he dealt with those kind of fans, I mean, I deal with them. I deal with Auburn fans like that, too. So, I mean, we all have fan bases that sometimes embarrass. So, anyway, what do you want to talk about now? Do you want to talk just for a second? Let's get off football. We'll come back to it. Dwight Howard getting traded,
yeah.
Trey.
Big news.
I mean, after 2 years, we can finally say he's out of Orlando.
Yeah. Finally. Yeah,
hey, Trey, I think we have a – hold on, Trey. I think we have a caller from the 256.
All right.
You're on Way In Sports. Who's this? Well, they did. If you want to talk in the queue, just hit 1, and it will pop back up. I put them off. Go ahead, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, the Dwight Howard trade and saga went on forever, Tarvin. I mean, you and I must have brought this up. I came in – I don't even know how many shows we've talked about this. But now that it's settled, Tarvin, the dust is cleared, the picture is very obvious hanging on the wall. I mean, I can't tell you how dumb of a trade for everyone else involved this was with the Lakers. I mean, this trade is awful. for everyone else. The Lakers, I heard them talking to their GM and saying how this was a trade to help them build for the future. All they got pretty much, I mean, they got a bunch of okay players, you know, maybe he would be okay as a, you know, a 6 or 7 guy coming in. And they got a bunch of draft picks, which you never know in the NBA what draft picks you're going to get. So really, draft picks don't really impress me in the NBA. It could be a 23rd for all we know. So, but how the Lakers pulled this off, and all they did was trade Bynum. And I heard all these people talk about how great Bynum's season was last year and how there are only 3 players in history, yada, yada. Bynum had 1 year, Tarvin. Bynum's had 1 year. And everything else has been a disappointment for this guy. And to say that he was a huge piece in this deal without Paul Gasol moving, who is the real big man in L.A., is absurd. The Lakers basically broke in the house of every other team and stole their fine china because they are going to win championship after championship. Oh. And there's just no – I mean, they just stole people's houses. I mean, they really did.
Well, Trey, you're exactly right. I mean, I never pictured L.A. getting Howard unless it meant Gasol and Bynum gone. So I thought they would have to sacrifice 2 big men to be able to get him. But you're right. They stole him for nothing. I mean, Bynum sucks. I can't stand the guy. I'm a Lakers fan, and I just can't stand him. He's soft. Gasol, he's not supposed to be tough. He's just one of those European players that wants to – he can do it all. So – now that Dwight Howard's down low, the Lakers, I mean, they stole Steve Nash. What'd they give, a bag of peanuts and a case of beer for him? I mean, they gave nothing.
Yeah.
They have Steve Nash, for God's sake. I mean, one of the best point guards, he's an MVP. You have Kobe was an MVP. Think about the defense for the Lakers with Ron Artest and Dwight Howard now. They both were defensive MVPs, correct?
Yeah, and think about this stat, Harmon. Something I tweeted about the Lakers now. They have the NBA's current assist leader, blocks leader, rebounds leader, and points leaders with Kobe, Nash, and Howard. I mean, how insanely crazy is their lineup? And I know the Heat went out and got Ray Allen, so the Heat and the Lakers are going to be good. But this is just very disappointing. I mean, this is basically like the Yankees versus the Yankees. I mean, this is just 2 teams who went out and spent everything. So the Lakers just, man, did they come away as a win. I mean, and I know the Nuggets are saying, well, hey, we got Andre Iguodala for basically nothing. Cause the, you know, so the Nuggets did a pretty good job of being part of this deal. I mean, getting Iguodala. I don't know what the Sixers were thinking. They just got had their pants pulled down and got spanked in this trade as well as the Lakers, as well as the Magic. So I just could not see. I mean, I could understand the Nuggets' position, and I definitely understand the Lakers' position, but I could not see what the Sixers and Magic are doing here.
Hey, Trey, we're going to go to the phones. Area code 309 has been on hold for just a minute. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this, and where are you from?
Hey, Tarvin, it's Corey.
Hey, Corey, what's up, bud?
Hey. Not much. I just want to weigh in on the Lakers situation.
All right, what you got for us, bud?
The Lakers pulled highway robbery once again.
Yep.
On the trade.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. That's all it was, is robbery. Kobe ought to go to jail for this.
They got rid of the human cancer, as I call them, in Andrew Bynum, and they got an all-star center. But there's a lot of questions I have for that. How's his back doing? As a center, you need your back.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. All the tests were done. Lakers are very, very confident that probably after, what, Trey, you say 1 or 2 weeks that he'll be back? Lakers.
I know that he was dancing on TV, so he seemed like pretty agile to me. But here's the thing, Tarvin, with Howard, they don't have to have him play 40 minutes a game because Paul Gasol can move from the 4 to the 5. So they can rotate. They can not only have both those guys on the floor and just utterly dominate down low, or they could have Howard rest and put Gasol at 5, and he's a position he's played before back when Bynum was, you know, worthless at center. So it's not as if Gasol would be unfamiliar with that role. It would be more of a smaller lineup for him, but it's certainly a lineup they could still win with.
Very true. Very true. But the question is the L.A. bench? That's the big question mark. You can always have a starter five starting lineup, but if you don't have anybody that can produce minutes or produce points when your starters are having a bad start, you're going to be in some trouble.
Well, you know, Corey, that's a good point, but I think Steve Nash is good enough, Kobe is good enough, and some of these guys are experienced enough to where all they have to do, I think, Trey, and you tell me if I'm wrong, they just need to have somebody just show up and catch and pass the ball. I mean, Steve Nash is going to take care of everything. He doesn't need the rest.
Yeah, I mean, and some of their backups now, Tarvin, are guys who were starting for them this past year. I mean, Steve Blake was their starting point guard. He's now their backup. So, I mean, this is a guy with big game experience. He was playing the playoffs against you know, OKC. You know, they don't have the great six man and Ray Lewis that the Heat have, or James Harden who the Thunder have, but they're going to have a better starting five than both teams. So, because Dwight Howard cannot be matched up against, I mean, that's the point. You know, Serge Ibaka can do his best, and that's about the best defender that Dwight Howard's probably going to see throughout the year. But with Gasol and Howard on the floor, I don't see any team being able to match up with those seven-footers down there in that physical play. I mean, you're going to have a lot of big guys fouling out against Lakers because of that.
Yeah. And, Corey, you got anything else before we take another caller, sir?
The Lakers better win within the next couple years because they're hitting the luxury tax. It's pretty high.
Yeah, that's a good point. But Corey, thanks for the call, bud. We
no
appreciate
problem.
You. Thanks. All right, Jason. All right, Jason, you're on Way In Sports.
Hey, Darvin.
How's it going,
hey,
bud?
Trey.
Hey.
Hey. I just got to say about this whole trade to the Lakers. I mean, I'm a classic NBA fan. I grew up watching basically the 80s and 90s, which I absolutely loved. And what this trade means to me is that we have now moved basically to a four-team league. There are four teams that literally have any shot at a title. The rest of the teams, c'est la vie. The other thing that killed this league, and I'm real adamant about this, you know, and I'm not bashing teams that got teams, but expansion. Expansion diluted the talent so bad that's basically what's caused these players to want to migrate and players dictating who they want to go play for. We had it happen in Miami. We had it happen in Boston. Now we have it with the Lakers. And I just, you know, to me, it's like, when is this going to stop? I want to go back to the 80s and 90s. I want to go back where players stayed and teams were built and they weren't bought. That's what I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. It's really like Trey said, it's the Yankees versus the Yankees now. And, you know, the biggest loser in this whole thing, besides Orlando, of course, which they gave their best player away for nothing, really, in my opinion, is OKC. These guys were building something, you know, special the right way, and then all of a sudden money swoops in, and all of a sudden they're second or third place now, Trey.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Well, Tarvin, I had to go through the same thing with my Wolves. Garnett did the same thing for the Timberwolves. He bailed and went to Boston. There was nothing that Minnesota could do. Not any amount of money would have kept him in Minnesota. And the same things with Howard. I mean, it's like replay, and that's what it's turned into. It's just sad.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm just something needs to be done. Or I guarantee you guys, it's going to be the Heat and the Lakers probably playing for it all. I don't think the Lakers guys. And you tell me if I'm wrong. I've been told that, you know, it's going to be hard to manage the egos of the Lakers, but I think everybody in L.A. knows whose team that is. What do you think? Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's Kobe's team. I mean, Dwight Howard's going to come in, and certainly it's going to be, you know, Dwight Howard for the future, Bob, possibly. But heck, Tarvin, I mean, Kobe Bryant is still playing at a superbly high level. So, to me, this is going to be – I don't see a problem because every single guy that they have, Tarvin –
seems to complement the other one. Like, they don't have guys who have similar game styles. They have, you know, Kobe, who matches well with Nash, and Nash matches well with Kobe. And then they have Dwight Howard coming in, and guess what? Nash plays fantastic with big guys. He's a great driver and an alley-oop guy. You know, yep. Gasol is a very good role player, and so I don't see this being a problem. I think the only problem they may have is meta world peace, and the Lakers can just six him if they need to. He's not an important piece to this puzzle. So,
well,
I like what they got.
Well, think of the age of Kobe Bryant now, and it looked like this year he was getting tired having to create his own shots, but now with Nash in there, I think Kobe will go off and have that MVP-type season. He's that good. I know he's getting older, but this guy can still play with the best of them.
No, what Nash brings is Nash brings to the Lakers someone who's going to distribute the ball. It's going to be Nash who dictates who's going to be scoring. So
Exactly. Kobe will tell him, though, hey, Nash, this is my team. Get me the ball. And Nash will give him the ball, and Kobe will decide when Dwight Howard gets the score.
Yeah, and you know, basically what I have to – you know, it was Kobe's team when Shaq was there. It's no different. It's Kobe's team with Howard there. I mean, there's no difference. Kobe gets what
Wade's
he wants.
Team, and it was Wade's team when LeBron came until now. LeBron took it over. I just don't – I think the Lakers made a smart move, though, guys. Is, you know, Kobe's going to retire in a few years, but Dwight Howard, what is he, 26 years old?
Yeah, he'll be there longer than Kobe.
Yeah.
26. I mean, you can start a building around Dwight Howard, Trey. If you're the Lakers, you know, Kobe's going to phase himself out, and all of a sudden, you know, you're going to have a great team on your hands. But did you get a chance to watch the Olympics, Jason?
Kind of, but I was kind of disappointed in the coverage because nothing was ever on that I actually wanted to watch. So,
yeah.
I got bored with the basketball team, and the only thing I have to say, too, of they were comparing themselves to the 92 Dream Team, please.
Yeah, these guys are barely getting past Spain, and Argentina or somebody almost beat them. So the United States basketball team, I mean, if they didn't win every game by at least 30, they underachieved. And even with a gold medal, I think the United States underachieved.
Yeah.
Trey, riddle me this. Just supposedly this happens like probably 10 games into the season. What happens to the Lakers when Kobe blows his knee out? What happens to that team? Are they still good enough? Is he that critical to that team?
To make the playoffs, I mean, I think they are. I mean, Kobe hasn't missed a lot of games in his career, so I mean, I'm not going to say that he's going to blow out a knee. You know, the big thing that's going to really hold up, I think the big thing about the Lakers is, does Dwight Howard sign a long-term deal? I mean, because if they rent him for a year and win a championship, then great. But, I mean, he still may choose to take free agency and just see what he can get. I mean, Dwight Howard strikes me as a character who's not going to sign a long-term deal for less money. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Jason, you have anything else, bud?
No, I'm good.
Well, good to hear from you, man. Stay in touch.
All right, thanks, Carmen.
All right, take care.
Later.
All right. Trey, I know you're going to have to leave in a minute. Anything else you want to touch real quick?
No, I'm about to peace out. I just wanted to say good show, Carmen. Sorry I couldn't make the last few minutes, but I'll definitely be back.
All right, we'll see you Wednesday night, hopefully.
Yep.
All right, have a good one. Thanks for coming.
See you, buddy.
All right. Well, I'm going to be flying solo, so if you'd like to call in and join me and talk some football, we're about to switch gears back to football. Watched some NFL, you know, like this weekend, and, you know, this is the first time in a long time I got excited about preseason football. I mean, just the fact that they were playing live games on TV, I was so excited to be able to see Andrew Luck play his first game, Cam Newton come back. I got to see RG3 and, you know, out of all of them, the one that impressed me the most, Andrew Luck. This guy was 10 for 16, I believe, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. His first pass ever in the NFL was, I think, a 68-yard touchdown, if I'm not wrong. Hey, Jason or Sonia, did you join me?
Yeah, what's up, man? We got you back.
Oh, no. All right, good.
We got
you. So, did you get to watch Andrew Luck today?
Nah, I don't know if did you watch today.
No. But I watched a little of RG3. He got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, you know, but looking at Andrew Luck, guys, I mean, I was so impressed with this guy. I mean, he looks like Peyton Manning, and I'm not saying that. That is blasphemous saying that right now, but he just reminds me a lot of Peyton Manning when he came into the league. You know, that's the first time in years that the Colts have even won a preseason opener. So he looked good, guys. 10 for 16, 186 yards, I believe, and two touchdowns. That's not bad for a guy that's never stepped on an NFL field before.
Yeah, now I watched the other night. I was kind of curious to see what Peyton would do. And the one thing I noticed, because I mentioned this to Sonya, when he's feeling good and he's on top of his game, Peyton Manning has happy feet, meaning he's always moving his feet. And when he starts to connect with his receivers, I'm telling you, watch out for Denver.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good the other night, didn't he?
He's zipping that ball. It's just what he's missing right now is timing, and Peyton's going to be dangerous. He looks healthy.
It won't take him long to get back in shape. And it's been a year and a half, I believe, since he played. But, hey, you know what's in the news in the NFL? That I saw this, and I know you guys heard that Chad Johnson was arrested for domestic abuse.
He just got let go today.
Oh, he did get let go.
Dolphins let him go.
Okay, good. I mean,
drafted him in our football league. No one even touched him.
Yeah, we did our fantasy football draft today. He was still on the board, but yeah, it was announced that the Dolphins dropped him. So much for that. He better hope she keeps that show.
good for the Dolphins. I mean, this guy says now he's saying his wife headbutted him, and you know they're early in marriage and. And maybe they're having trouble communicating, but you don't ever put your hands on a woman. I don't care if she makes you mad, walk away. I mean, you don't have to get up in her face and headbutt her. And the thing is, his wife saw a receipt for something he shouldn't be doing. And he gets all upset about it. So what is a married man doing with condoms? And she knows it's not for her. But who is it for?
It's all drama. That's all that's related to them. It's nothing but drama. It's that stupid show she does, that loving, what is that mess? Real something.
Real Wives of Some Town.
I call them, excuse my language, but I call them hoes and mistresses of football players. But it's all part of that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's on.
I didn't know.
She's on that reality show, and that Shaq's wife started. Basketball Wives, that's what they call it, Basketball Wives, I had to remember.
So if you're an NFL team, do you take a chance on him? I mean, this is Dez Bryant, you know, hit his mother, got arrested. Dallas is kind of turning a blind eye towards it looks like. So is anybody going to pick him up? You think Dallas will open their arms up and take him?
No, because Dallas is going to go after – they're talking with Plexico
first.
Yeah, so they're going to go after –
I thought Plexico was working out for New England today.
No, the rumors on fantasy draft leagues within a couple of sources are pretty much said that they're finalizing talks in Dallas. Because Dallas is looking for a receiver.
Hey, guys, hold your horses a minute. Quinn, I believe Quinn's on the line. Quinn, is
Lord,
that
you? Yeah, I just wanted to say about preseason games is they're pointless, stupid, and worthless. How my Bears played in that game against Denver was stupid. Lovey didn't even let Cutler play, didn't let Forte play, didn't let Peppers play, and he pretty much told all the players, we're not going to hit Manning.
Quinn, too, you have to realize.
Manning was passing all over, and truthfully, I didn't even watch too much of that game because I don't put any stock into preseason.
No, the first
I hate it. I think it's stupid.
Okay.
Quinn, the first two games are like flag football. You know that. And in the first two games of the preseason, you're literally seeing about two series with your starters, the rest were all scrubs. I mean, the whole point of preseason is to see what you got 2 and 3 deep and who you're going to keep and who you're going
to
let go.
Yeah, well, colleges don't have to do that, so the pros shouldn't have to.
No, different league. I disagree with you there.
The college doesn't get paid, Quinn, and these guys are employers for the NFL, and they do what they're told, just like we do every day when we go to work. You know, and the NFL is just a different animal than college. These college guys aren't paid, so they're not going to be required to do that. Jason, you were going to say something?
Yeah, well, I mean, preseason is what it is. I mean, I agree with Quinn. I mean, I don't put much stock in it, but I watched my Vikings play yesterday, and I was happy with what I saw in the first quarter. Now, the rest of the game, you know, it was scrub, so I don't put much faith in it. Now, on the other hand, San Francisco, they played their starting people for two quarters, and that was the difference in the game. And that's what you got to look at. Quinn, I Chicago scares me. Chicago and Green Bay scare me. I mean, those are your two front runners for the Central. The only thing you got to worry about in Chicago is Cutler and his interceptions. That's it.
Yeah, I think Cutler feels better because he has an offensive coordinator that simplifies the offense. Martz was too complicated. He actually has a quarterback coach he gets along with, the one he had in Denver. He has Marshall now. And now that you have Marshall, he's always been good with Bennett and stuff. So, I mean, with Marshall, that's going to open up the other wide receivers to get more catches.
And is Forte healthy?
What?
Is Forte healthy?
Yeah, Forte's healthy.
So you think he's ready to go when it comes to game one?
Yeah, especially since he got his contract renewed. I think he's pretty happy.
Oh, so
and
he's
we
happy.
Have Michael Book. And
they're
and
all
we
Quinn,
have, and
they get...
Quinn, I don't think
yeah.
Cutler. I don't think Cutler's the man that can get them to the Super Bowl. Do you?
Oh, I don't.
I do. I do.
Well, of course you do, Quinn.
I think
ponders our answer. He's the Messiah who's going to take us to a Super Bowl, maybe in 10 years.
Hey, Rex, if Rex Grossman could manage a game and get us to the Super Bowl, I think with our defense, and this is the most explosive offense we have had in a long time.
Yeah, I emphasize long
and
time.
And the Bears are a run-it-down-your-throat defense type of team. And
though
our defense is old, they're going to hold up and we're going to be able to put some points up.
Quinn, the problem is you paid Matt Forte now. Your running game is going to suck unless the backup's going to come in and take the job away. Matt Forte's done, dude. I'm telling you.
He's not done.
Are you
crazy, Tarvin?
I knew I'd get Quinn going, Fanya.
I think it's wishful thinking, Tarvin. I think
I'm playing with Quinn. I'm just jerking his chain a little bit.
Please give him some Benadryl.
No.
I've been a Forte fan, Quinn, really, honestly. You probably heard my shows before where I spoke highly of Matt Forte and the Bears. I think they're going to be a force this season. But as far as preseason goes, it's meaning nothing. It means a lot to me because it lets me see these kids that might make the team, they might not, see who's trying to earn it. And it also helps me prepare for my fantasy draft. I can see a couple of players in there that can really help my team. It really helps. Like Julio Jones, he was a beast the other night. I knew he was going to be, but, you know, it just helps to look at stuff like that. Quinn, you got anything else, bud, before we go?
Oh, yeah, and Sonia, about that Michigan fan, I'll rag on him once the season starts up, and once it comes around after that first game and around when they are about to play Notre Dame, that's when I'll get on his chain.
All right, well, I'm going to make sure I'm going to send you some Red Bull beforehand, okay?
Hey, Quinn,
so you'll be
Quinn,
red.
Stay
okay.
right there. Quinn, stay right there. We have a caller from the 256 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this and where you from?
Hey, what's up? This is Chris.
Yeah!
Hey, Smelly.
What's going
what's
on, Chris?
Smelly!
Not at home.
Roll Tide, roll, baby.
Roll Tide.
We have Chris,
bam.
Smelly, and Quinn
that's
on
bam.
The line.
Oh, yeah.
That's
I was,
bam.
Tar, you better not put me on
this
hold.
This one.
I'm not missing this one.
Bama sucks.
Oh, all right. Smelly, I'm going to let you handle that one.
All right,
I ain't worried about Quinn. Hey, is that Michigan man still online?
No.
Nah, but I'm sure he's listening. Go ahead and hit him up.
All right, well, check it out, dude. If you want to call in any time, please feel free to. But anyway, I just want to call in to get some facts, something that the other dude totally left off his all his entire conversation. But anyways, I'm going to knock on Texas fan base like he did because that just shows – no knowledge of his team, much less the game. But Denard Robinson, first of all, the man's only completed 55% of his passes last year. 55%. He was 98th out of 115 quarterbacks with that, with 15 INTs. He is straight garbage. Saban's third string stopped those numbers. And then anybody who knows football, college football, will agree, except for Michigan man, because he don't know what he's talking about, agree that the games are won in the trenches. I mean, do you agree with that, Brian?
I do, and that's why I questioned the guy about playing physical at Michigan. I just didn't see that from the Michigan team. That's why I questioned him on it.
Well, the Michigan D-line versus the Bama O-line is ridiculous. We our Bama O-line averages 316 pounds compared to their 286. And we also got 4 or 5 starting experience, 70 starts amongst them compared to Michigan's 18 starts. Man, I'm telling you.
Well, luckily the game isn't played on paper.
Well, let's see. You know what, Quinn? Shut up. All right, hold on a second. Let me see this, and I'll get back to you. So, all right. I'm saying, I don't care who Bama got run. They can put the water boy in. We're going to run all over Michigan's D, all over it. And, A.J. McGarren's going to have all day to throw. So, I don't understand how that guy thinks that Michigan's got a chance. I mean, I know a lot of people are saying it's going to be close, but I would say right here on live, on the air, 14 points or more, we're going to win.
I agree.
Yeah, I'd take the Vegas odds.
I agree. It's 12.5 right now, and it'll be 15 by game time. You wait and see. And the thing that surprised me what he said, it was going to be something like 49-42. I mean, really?
Exactly.
It's 49-39, he said.
49-39.
It's
going to be a little closer, a lower score. And I'm thinking something like 31-13, maybe, something like that. I'm thinking Bama 31, Michigan 13.
Yeah, you're going to give them 13?
That's all right. Yeah, it's early. It's early in the season. You know,
well, come on,
Tar,
man. I watched Michigan play Ohio State again the other day.
Oh, we were laughing.
And we were laughing. I mean, I looked at Sonny and I'm like, seriously? And I made this comment the other day, you know, everyone's got to remember that it's a football, you know, that rubber football. And when you throw it, you could not throw a spiral. Every pass that Denard Robinson tried to make, he had to jump up the seat, and it flew like an itza. He can't throw. So for the guy to say he's going to throw all over Alabama, please. Denard's going to be running for his life. He ain't going to have time to throw.
No.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this guy, I mean, I've seen him run for his life in the Big Ten, and we know the defenses aren't as physical and as fanatical, really. You know,
exactly.
Is Smelly still on here?
I think he was more concerned about the fan base.
Yes.
Quinn, you have a question for Smelly?
No, I just asked if he was still on here.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I'm tired.
What you going to do, Quinn? Come on, boy.
What you got for
Quinn,
me?
Quinn, Notre Dame sucks, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
I
Quinn,
agree.
But they do.
They suck.
Now, Auburn, on the other hand, is a great team. But Notre Dame, come on.
I'm not going to say nothing about that. So.
No. So, Smelly, how's everything going, bud? I appreciate you calling in tonight. I've been wanting you to call in for a while. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I've been wanting him to call in, too. He's actually found the courage to call in.
Oh, God, Quinn. Hold on. Let the grown folks talk. Go ahead and finish what you were saying, Brian.
Yeah, I'm glad you called, Chris. I've been looking forward to hearing you. So Chris, I want to ask you a few questions about the SEC. I know it's 3 weeks away, but looking at the Eastern Division, who are you seeing right now as your top two teams, your favorite?
Top two in the East?
Yeah.
That's easy. That's South Carolina or Georgia.
So you're in that order, South Carolina won?
Oh, no. In order... I really do think Georgia's got it. I mean, they.
Georgia sucks.
I think every team sucks.
Other than Auburn and Notre Dame.
Yeah, other than Auburn and Notre Dame.
Yeah. But I really do think Georgia's going to beat South Carolina this year.
In South Carolina?
Yes.
That's going to be a tight game.
So Quinn, tell me about Tennessee. What are you looking at their record being this year in the East? Do they have a shot to get up there and make some noise, or are they going to be like they were last year?
Who, me?
Yeah, Quinn.
Smelly, you go ahead and take that one, bud.
Look, you're talking Quinn, right?
No, Smelly, go ahead.
Quinn got
that
all confused.
Here, I'll answer for Quinn.
Quinn, I had to mute you, buddy, man. You're confusing me. So I'm going to bring you back on when I'm going to ask you something. But for right now, Smelly, Tennessee, what do you think they're going to do this year with Dooley?
I think this year they're going to improve greatly. I mean, they're not going to contend for the East, I don't think. But if Bray and Hunter stay healthy, I think they're going to at least win 8 games this year.
I
was thinking 8 or 9. I think they're going to be a lot better. And so in the West, I'm sure you have Alabama. But who is that team, other than Alabama and LSU, that could sneak in there and win the division?
Ooh. I got to put Arkansas third.
Okay.
Yep. So, Arkansas, then Auburn, then the rest.
Man, it's just – such a tough division, you know. I mean, you can have a good team and finish fourth. I mean, that's how strong that division is. So I don't know about Arkansas, guys. Looking at it, was it John L. Smith? I don't know if he can lead them to do what they're supposed to do in the SEC.
Their offense is going to be awesome, though. I mean, if not, they stay healthy. Kyle Wilson, them two out there, they're going to be a threat, a force to reckon with.
But, you know, every year everybody says, you know, this is Arkansas's year, this is how good they are, and then they play Alabama and get smoked, and that's the last you hear of them. So I'm thinking you're going to see the same thing again this year out of them. They're just not built to play with the Alabamas and LSUs of the world.
They don't have the defense.
What? Who was that, Jason?
They don't have the defense. They can score a bunch of points. They can't stop anyone. They remind me of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Quinn, I'm going to ask you now, what do you think of Arkansas?
Hold on.
What did he say?
What, Quinn?
I said, hold on.
Okay.
Okay.
Quinn, take the pacifier out your mouth and talk.
Quinn. All right, I'll come back to Quinn later. We're running out of time, but I wanted to so if you're predicting a national champion, Smelly, and I don't want to put you on the spot, do you think Southern Cal is going to be in the game?
Yeah, I've been predicting them, yes. Southern Cal and I hate to say this, but I think LSU.
Okay, Mettenberger, you think he's going to be a good one?
He's got the talent. He doesn't have the experience. He's only – thrown 11 passes, so, but he's a lot better than Jordan Jefferson or Jared Lee, that's for sure. So, I mean, the Honey Badger.
I'm better than those two, Chris.
It's true.
But
like
I don't think LSU. I mean, I don't know if they'll beat Alabama or not. After watching that national championship game, it just looked like two different leagues out there almost. So
yeah, but they bring back more talent, though.
Yeah,
they bring back more talent out than is.
Yeah, but look at the coach, Les Miles. I mean, I know a lot of people think he's great, but I don't give him too much credit.
That's true. He can't win a championship without saving recruits. So we don't find that out last year or this year, actually. So
exactly. All right. Hey, Quinn, are you ready now?
Yeah.
He was texting somebody.
All right, Quinn, tell me the West. Who's going to win the West, and who's got a shot to make some noise that nobody's talking about?
Are you talking about, like, noise in the SEC or
West?
No, I'm talking about I want to know the winner of the SEC West, and I want to know a team that could do good that nobody's really talking about in the SEC West.
LSU will win the West, and I would say Mississippi State.
Oh, that is a good one, Quinn.
Mississippi State.
Because they don't really
huh?
get talked about, so.
Well,
and they got a good team.
Pick. Yeah, I think Mississippi State's problem was Ralph, honestly, watching them last year, and they had a lot of injuries on the offensive line. Mississippi State was a good team last year until those injuries hit, so that could be a good pick, Quinn. Auburn plays them the second week. In Starkville. What's
yeah, we're
going to
beat them.
Okay. I hope so, man. I hope so. So, Smelly,
hey,
I want you on the line. Okay, Smelly, go ahead.
Hey, Quinn.
Yeah.
Who's going to be your starting quarterback?
Frazier.
Frazier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Frazier.
Kyle Frazier is easy. I know people haven't announced it yet, but being in Auburn and knowing some people, Frazier's a starting quarterback. It's not even a race. They're just not announcing it. But, Smelly, how do you think Auburn's going to do against Clemson that first game now that Sammy Watkins is out?
Don't ask Chris that. He's going to give a delusional Bammer answer.
No, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, man. Without Watkins – I won't put money on this game. I'll put it that way. I don't know who's going to win. I think Auburn has the advantage because they've been getting lucky the last 2 years with games like that, Utah State and all of 2010 season. But anyways, so I actually think Auburn is going to win that game.
God, I hope so. Sonia, what do you think?
Auburn.
Jason?
Yes,
yeah,
two Bammers said Auburn.
Yeah,
woo-hoo!
I say Auburn. Auburn's my sleeper.
Well, yeah, I have Auburn in that game. But, guys, I'm going to tell you, it could get ugly. Auburn could just blow these guys out. The thing about Auburn this year is I think the SEC West will be tough on Auburn, but I think these teams like Clemson and these out-of-conference games will be a breeze. The Ole Misses, even Vanderbilt, I don't think will be a good matchup for Auburn. Auburn's going to have to really play some good ball when they play Arkansas and LSU and Alabama. Those three games always scare me on the schedule. But looking at the other games, I really think they're all winnable for Auburn. So 9 wins for Auburn this year would be the low, in my opinion. I know people are saying 6 wins. What do you think, Smelly?
I got a 8 max.
8 max.
Sonia?
8 or 9.
Jason?
I say 8 or 9, and Auburn's season really boils down to, I hate to say it, but the Iron Bowl. Win or lose, that's going to be their season.
All right, Quinn, what are you, 12-0? What?
12-0? No. 9 or 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I got a question for you Auburn fans, though. A legit question. All
right.
I've been arguing about this. For all the fans all season long, what do you think y'all defense is going to do? I'm hearing top 10, top 15. What do you think, Ryan?
Well, you know, I've been mixed about this. I think the linebacker play, if it's good, I think it could be top 15, somewhere around in there. But I think next year will be the year for Auburn's defense to really be that good. I mean, it's going to be right up there with anybody you're talking about. But being in the top 10 this year, I mean, it's not impossible because there's talent on the team, and Van Gorder is a great coordinator. But I don't know. Top 10? I don't know, guys. What do you think, Quinn? I can't say, Chris, honestly.
I think we'll be a top 25, top 30.
Well, that sucks, Quinn.
I can understand. I can see that.
That sucks, Quinn.
Top 30, who cares about it? If you're not top 10, you don't matter. So that's why I'm hoping they do get in the top 10.
Hey, that's not true. That's not true.
Why is it not true?
Oh, God.
Top 10, you don't matter. That's the biggest bull I've heard.
Hey, Tarvin, top 25, it matters for the golfers. If we make the top 20, man, I'm throwing a party.
all right, guys, before we go, Smelly, this Javon Robinson stuff in Auburn is going down, the guy in Memphis. Do you think anything's going to come out of it?
You go.
I don't think he's going to play for Auburn. I don't know if Auburn's involved, if Trooper Taylor had anything to do with it. That's not. I ain't going to make no assumptions about that, but as far as him playing, the only reason why they had to change his transcript was probably because he didn't qualify. So, therefore, if they look at his real grades, I'm thinking he's not going to qualify to play anyway.
But he made good grades this summer. He took classes at Auburn and made good. So, what I'm thinking
is going
to happen.
But he wouldn't even be there.
Oh, I know. But they're not going to penalize him for that. It'll be Auburn's choice, I think, whether they want to keep him or not. And it all depends on whether he knew or not, really. And so I think he's going to play at Auburn, but it won't be this year. I think he's going to redshirt this year, but I think he's going to be there next year.
But you say it doesn't matter, but how is that so? If you lied to get into that position and they find out that you weren't supposed to be there to begin with, how are they going to say, okay, well, just redshirt, then you can play?
Well, Chris, you're exactly right. I mean, it depends on what it was. If it was just, it could be just a small little difference. I don't think they're going to penalize him and remove him from college because, if anything, you want the kid to get an education. You know, you want him to make good grades. You don't want to pull him out of college. So I don't think it's something that he'll get kicked out of school for. But all
hey,
I don't understand
I
is why he did it.
I have a question.
Okay.
What do your grades have to be in the NCAA in order to be eligible to play? Because, like, at my high school, you at least have to have a 2.0 to be able to play sports. And I'm just wondering what it is for the NCAA.
Different schools.
I think it's, yeah.
Different requirements.
Right, different.
Vanderbilt has a different requirement than UGA. I mean, it just depends.
Yeah, but, hey, guys, I don't understand why a guidance counselor would do that unless, you know, it's either any money's involved, but who paid him? I mean, this is – a lot of teams recruited this guy, and these grades were changed as a sophomore in high school, and Auburn didn't even know the guy then. So I don't think they did anything. And I've been told by – some reliable sources at Auburn that they're in the clear, but the only thing we're not in the clear on is why it happened and did he know about it. So
well,
whether
it could
he knew
be,
about it or not.
It could be family, too, so you got to look at it. I mean, a lot of my family is in higher education, and sometimes people, you know, they'll call a friend of a friend to try to hook somebody up to try to get them either a job or hook up their transcripts if they have to get a copy for a new job or something like that. It just really depends. Nobody's going to know until, you know, the investigation's done and people actually tell the truth.
Well, sorry, I think there's a lot of money involved in this. Like, I think the lady felt sorry for the kid losing his dad. I think the family came into a lot of money, like they were talking about millions of dollars. So you never know. Mom says everything's fine and she swears that he didn't cheat and nobody did, but there's something else going on. Is there a possibility of a relationship between the guidance counselor and Javon Robinson?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You never know. It could be a family friend. He could be a friend of his aunt or uncle or somebody who's trying to hook him up. You just never know.
Well, a lot of counselors, me being a teenager, a lot of counselors, if Robinson was going to that counselor for a lot of help and advice and stuff like that, they could have developed a really good relationship.
Hey, Tarvin,
yeah,
true story. Senior in college, this is me. I was taking finance. I was getting a D, roughly close to failing that class. I went into my professor. This was on my last semester. Sat down, had a heart-to-heart, told him I needed to pass finance to graduate. And he looked me in the face and said, you come to class every day, you take the test, you turn in all your homework, and I'll get you by. And the dude gave me a C-. So it
does
happen.
Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is for all teachers nowadays. If you do the work and go to class and turn in your work and you're putting an effort, the teacher won't fail you.
Yeah, so
yeah, that's what I'm saying. You just never know.
It does happen.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, anything could be possible, but what I'm hearing, guys, and I know some Alabama fans, not y'all, are hoping Auburn, you know, gets hammered, but it's not going to happen for this. It might be something else along the line. You never know what can happen. After the Penn State debacle, I don't really trust anything anymore.
Yeah,
so.
What's going to be very interesting is when everything does play out is how many of both our teams, the lower tier fans that we have, will take this and run with it.
Oh, they already are.
That's one thing that we've been talking about, Tarvin, and I wanted to bring up before you close this out, is that people need to realize something. Look, being a fan is being a fan. Everybody loves their team. But when it gets to the point that your entire life is consumed with finding dirt on your rival, okay, you need something else in your life. You need Jesus or something. But it's just getting to the point now where I'm seeing too many groups, not just Alabama Auburn, but other fans, other teams, and rivalries too. People don't know what the real rules are, and they make up their own in their minds, and they take this stuff and run with it. Folks, let it go.
Yeah, I do that sometimes, just to play with fans, you know, especially one that comes in and says something about another team, and I'm like, hey, you know, let me say something about yours just to see how you react. But some people, they can't take it, but they can dish it out very good, you know.
Right. Well, and that's what I'm saying. But the thing is, it's just like with the whole Page thing, you know, oh, that's an NC violation. No, it's not. If you're going to sit there and talk this smack, make sure you know what the violations are.
I just talk the smack to get people to react like you and Smelly because I think it's quite hilarious.
No, you just talk the talk. That's all you do. We just ignore you. We love you, but we just ignore you most of the time. But anyway, Tarvin, go ahead. I just wanted to bring that up. It's like fans, you know, that's all fans. Football season is starting. We're all excited. We're all a little on edge. But when it comes to some of these rumors and stuff that are going around, before you start hopping on all these different boards and posting and spreading stuff, make sure that you know what you're talking about, because if not, you're going to look like a fool. Because I'm telling you, what Tarvin just talked about, the day before, it was the Paige Foley high school story, and the very next day, the Auburn story came out. So all of those lower-tier Auburn fans who were talking all that smack, guess what? The Bama fans came back right the next day.
Yeah, it's going to be like that. Anytime you're having success, and the last three championships came from the state, and it's just people want to see them go down. I mean, it's just the truth. Somebody in Memphis is sitting there that has a bad feeling towards Auburn, did something, they're going to tell on them, and you have to be careful. But I heard Humphreys is in the chat room talking about how good Oregon is right now. So Jason Humphreys, he's from Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening, Jason. I think Oregon, I'm praying they win the Pac-12 just so I can see Lane Kiffin cry. But before we go, I've got one thing. I want to hear from each of you about Lane Kiffin lied and said that he wouldn't vote his team number one. USA Today called wind of this and came out and revealed that he did vote his team number one. Smelly, what do you think about that?
He's being Kiffin. He's a liar. He looks out for one person only, and that's himself. And he wants to look good in public by, you know, being modest and say, oh, I wouldn't vote my team number one. And then what's he do? He votes team number one, and he gets called out. And then when he gets called out, he comes up with some bogus excuse. I forgot what all he said.
But
he had to do it for his players. He couldn't make them think that he didn't believe in them, all that nonsense.
Well, and that's the case in everybody. Every coach will vote their team number one. You know, I mean,
the coaches poll needs to go away, Smelly. The coaches poll needs to be banned. I really don't like it anymore, and I haven't for a while. Just too much favoritism in it. You know, it's conference favoritism, it's team favoritism. Sonia, what do you think about Kiffin?
What else is new? The thing is, every coach is going to vote for their team. I mean, give me a break. Every coach is going to vote for their team. But just man up and say it. Don't sit here and try to make it seem like I'm so humble and I'm so modest and I'm going to vote for somebody else and get called out on it. Just say, heck yeah, I voted for my team. Who else am I going to vote for?
Exactly.
So he gets exactly what he deserves. And if I were anybody that was considering Kiffin, I wouldn't be making a permanent nameplate for him. It's all about, like Smelly said, he's all about himself. It's all about Kiffin. There's no loyalty. So, you know, you know what you're getting when you got Lane Kiffin.
Exactly. Well, guys, we're running out of time here, and the chat room is saying the same thing we are. Kiffin's a piece of crap, so I'm glad everybody agrees with us. Quinn and Jason, I didn't get your opinions real quick. What do you think, Quinn?
I don't really like to judge people, so I'll just say that he probably should have just went straight up like Sonia said and said his team and promised that he wouldn't vote for his team. But I'm not gonna ridicule him on being a liar because everybody has lied in their life and probably has broken a promise, so I'm not going to ridicule them because I've lied before. So, but I don't really like. But I mainly the main reason why I really don't like Kiffin is because he's at USC and I don't like USC at all.
Oh, good.
Okay. Jason, what do you think, bud? Before we go.
All I have to say is something he said prior to USC. I'm not leaving Tennessee. So, you know, whatever. I really don't care. I care about two conferences, the Big Ten, the SEC. doesn't matter to me. Karma's
That's
a bitch.
Carvin.
Mm-hmm.
Carvin.
Yes.
Hey, before you sign off, I just wanted to say we put it out there on the board, but everybody needs to understand you can call in and talk about your team and your conference. This isn't an SEC show. It's a sports show. So I know there's been a couple of in the groups that we're all in, people talk about that all we do is talk about the SEC. Well, that's because those are the people who call in. They're SEC fans, you know, other than our friend Rick earlier today. But if you want to talk about your team, if you want to talk about your conference and educate us and give us more information, then call in. Post about it.
Exactly. That's a good point. We want to hear everything.
Yeah,
don't go
crying on the board about how it's just SEC talk or Auburn talk or whatever when you can call in.
Yep, so contribute.
Exactly. Well, guys, thanks for joining us tonight. We really had fun and appreciate y'all calling in. And we'll be back Wednesday night, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern. We look forward to having y'all. Hopefully you can join us.
Roll Tide.
All right, roll tide.
Thanks, guys.
War Eagle and Bama sucks. See you.
Oh, go to bed.
You got to get that back.
Yeah, dude.